This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Author Nathaniel Philbrick is probably best known for his historical narratives like In the Heart of the Sea, the National Book Award winner about the tragedy of the whale ship Essex. But in his newest book, Philbrick turns his literary talents on himself. He's just published a memoir exploring his relationship with the sea and his local ponds of Nantucket. It's titled Second Wind, A Sunfish Sailor, An Island, and the Voyage That Brought a Family Together. Nathaniel Philbrick, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be here.
And so you decided to write a memoir this time. Why is that?
Well, you know, sailing has always been very important to me. One of my earliest memories is being on a sailboat. And after we moved to Nantucket years ago, I was a stay-at-home dad. And as a stay-at-home dad, kind of lost touch with sailing, which had once meant everything to me. I was a Sunfish North American champion back in 1978. And so I decided to launch a comeback. And in doing that, I decided I wanted to get at what was happening. You know, water is important to me. Water has been important to my history books. And so this was a way to sort of get at where I'm coming from, both as a writer and as a sailor.
Mm. And so what did you get at?
You know, it's one of those things that when I was doing all this back in the 92, 93, I was just doing it. And I really wasn't sure why or, you know, what was happening. But looking back, I can see that water was the catalyst with which I was able to find my voice as a historian. Because while I was launching this comeback as a sunfish racer, I was working on my first work of history, a history of Nantucket, away offshore. And the two were proved to be absolutely intertwined. And I would actually sail to places I was researching and writing about. And since then, even when I'm writing a book about Custer's Last Stand in Montana, that book begins with a riverboat. And so water is always been important to me.
Huh. You know, you're sailing here in this book on a sunfish, and you wrote, if an America's Cup boat is a Ferrari, a sunfish is a VW bug.
Absolutely.
So what do you like about using the sunfish?
Oh, the sunfish is the greatest sailboat, I think, ever designed. I mean, it's basically an 13.5-foot ironing board, bloated a little bit with a well in the middle of it for your feet. They have a sail that's shaped like an isosceles triangle. It's a, you know, lateen rig. And they might not look like much, but they're fast. And they're very adaptable. One person can sail them. You can get a crowd on board them. And when it comes to racing them, kids can race against adults, people of all sizes. So for me, it's accessible sailing. And what's great about it being so small, if you can learn to sail on a sunfish, you can sail any boat because it's such an intimate relationship with the water and the wind that you develop a sensitivity that you just wouldn't get in a bigger, heavier boat. So I just can't say enough about a sunfish.
Mm. And you also write in the book about what it's like to be out on the water. You describe a part of sailing where you get it, where everything becomes aligned, and you call it equipoise. Could you read that part of the book for us?
Yeah. And this is just to give it some context. I was practicing for the North Americans, and in this session I sailed out of Nantucket Harbor to the jetties where all the seals are. And I went seal watching. This was in the winter, actually, and the seals started following me. And it was an interplay that really brought me to what I was trying to achieve by sailing, and I owed it a lot to the seals. Sailors have a word to describe the sensitivity required to achieve this perfect equipoise. It's called feel, and to a certain extent, you either have it or you don't. I've seen a professional baseball player, a superb athlete with absolutely no feel, become so disoriented during a routine day sail that he slipped and fell out of a boat. I've seen a 58-year-old woman with a bad hip step into the same sailboat that gave the baseball player such trouble and be immediately at home. Instead of unnerving her, the unsteadiness of the water and the flukiness of the breeze liberated her from the cruel grasp of dry land and gravity that forced her to walk with a cane. She intuitively understood and was delighted by the way sailing reinvented the playing field. The athlete, on the other hand, wanted no part of it. More than anything else, feel is a matter of empathy with wind and water. Whereas most sports deny nature altogether, a sailor cannot escape it. As long as the wind fills the sails, he or she is consorting with a force beyond human control. But feel doesn't emanate from a higher spiritual plane. On the contrary, it is primitive, elemental. Feel reaches back into the marrow and the synapses, into the brine of the bloodstream. Everything is reduced to instinct. As I sail, I am a throwback to an earlier evolutionary stage. I am very like a seal.
It's beautiful. When you're sailing, do you have to get to that point of feel, of equipoise?
Yeah, and you know, this is part of what I was trying to figure out if I could still do it. When I was 22 years old, when I won the North Americans, I could slip into that state quite easily. You know, my life was relatively simple when I look back. Now, at this point, when the year I'm describing, I was 36 years old. I was at home with young children. I was writing a book, and life was a little more complicated. And my question was, could I get back to that? Mm. And so the book is, in many ways, can I find feel again? And it was this sail with the seals that I first got it back after several weeks of trying. And what I found was I could momentarily grasp it, but I couldn't live in that zone the way I had when I was younger.
Why is that?
You know, that kind of feel and zone is something, you know, you just have to let it go in a way. And I was always, you know, life was always intruding, but it would come back. And so it was a flickering thing. And so what I realized, you know, this is I love it when I feel this way. And so I really still owe that year so much. I'm now 61 years old and I still love to sail. And it's when I feel it's coming back.
Why is it that the athlete doesn't feel the feel, but the 58-year-old woman with a bad hip can, as you write? What is it about the feel that attracts different people?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Great sailors are not necessarily great athletes, but what they have is this kind of instinctive sense of oneness with the wind and water. Mm-hmm. In a football game, in a baseball game, you know, the wind is an interfering thing. You know, rain is a pain in the neck. For sailors, the wind and the water is part of the game. You know, you are competing against others, but it's really the wind and the water. That's what I like about sailing, not being a very particularly coordinated person myself. It really moves me to a place that makes me refreshed and sort of makes me feel at one with the universe.
There were parts of the book where you write about some pretty harrowing experiences. Yep. Where if you read them at first blush, not to be insulting or anything, they're kind of reckless, some
yes.
of the things you did to see if you could do this again,
right?
However many years later. Why do you think you took that path? Was it adrenaline, or what was it about that?
Right. It was kind of, you know, teenage behavior. You know, really stupid, but oh, man, what a rush. I mean, you know, I had spent 10 years in a very intensely domestic situation at home with the kids. Mm. And I think I was having a kind of midlife crisis. I really just wanted to sort of break out. And so it was kind of juvenile looking back. And, you know, I think I was just working some things out in a way. Now I'm just, you know, a little bit more laid back, little bit more.
Is your writing process different when you write a memoir? Like how is it different?
It is. You know, when I write a history, it's a 3-year process, a year of research, a year of writing, and a year of basically editing. Memoir for me was I took notes as I sailed the ponds and trained for the regatta and collected them all and then sat down to write and wrote something that was probably 3 times the length of the book we have now. And for me, it became a process of cutting and realizing how much better it was getting as I took out the more self-indulgent parts and really told a story. And for me, it was a process of finding what was the story what was unfolding during that year. And so looking back, you know, I'm proud of the book.
What's the main message you would want people to take from the book?
Yeah, I think the main message is, you know, as parents, we make a lot of sacrifices for our kids because they are everything. And but you run the risk of kind of losing who you are. And at some point, you need to recognize your needs along with the kids' needs. Otherwise, the kids will suffer. And so for me, this was a year of sort of, I had sort of overcompensated on the domesticity side. I needed something more for me to keep going forward in a positive way. And that happened this year, that year. And it, for me, it was kind of revelatory.
Author Nathaniel Philbrook, his latest book is the memoir Second Wind, A Sunfish Sailor, An Island, and the Voyage That Brought a Family Together. He'll be speaking tomorrow night at the Paul Pratt Memorial Library in Cohasset. Nathaniel Philbrook, thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.